Hello everyone, welcome back all of you to my podcast and this very special episode where I will be telling you about that great man, the great leader who was born for others. I hope you all are taking a very good care of yourself. Well, it's a saying that we rise by lifting others. If we see someone in pain, what usually we do? Do we also experience the sensation of pain, of the same pain, or do we simply ignore? What is your response? What will you do in such situation? Well, if you will ask me, I will say I will definitely feel that pain. As to feel the pain of human beings is in nature of all the humans. Only the animals cannot have such sensation as human beings are blessed to have such sensation. So if you are not feeling this pain, or you are just ignoring such people who are suffering from pain, any kind of pain, then it means that you are not a human being. You are, I will not say. Well, dear all, this great leader was recorded in the epithet the Great because of his many accomplishments, including his record of unbeaten military campaigns that consolidated Mughal rule in the Indian subcontinent. Yes, dear all, he was born today. Yes, today, that is 15 October. In which year? In the year 1542. And that is why today we will be celebrating his birthday. By remembering him, by remembering what he did. We all know what he did. But yes, we must try to recall those achievements. Right, so are you all ready to listen to me? Well, very good. During his reign, the Mughal Empire tripled in size and wealth. He had created a powerful army and instituted effective political social reforms. And we will be having the list of those reforms. We will be discussing, but let me tell you something about his childhood days. Please try to understand. He was known as Jalaluddin Muhammad Akbar and more famously known as Akbar the Great. And why he was great, I have already told you. Yes, dear all, after Babur and Humayun, he was the son of Nasiruddin Humayun and succeeded him as emperor in the year 1556. And interestingly, at the age of just 30, okay, he was on the throne of that empire, which was not completely organized at that time. As Humayun had an accidental death when he fell from the stairs of his library, and suddenly Akbar was given the throne. His guardian was Behram Khan, and what happened with him, we will learn. But here we have to understand that a child who was 13 years old was destined by the destiny to rule Indian subcontinent. And nobody could have ever imagined that how he will be influencing in the near future the entire country militarily, politically, culturally and economically. Well, he did many things to establish a centralized system of administration and adopted a policy of marriage alliance and diplomacy. With his religious policies, he won the support of his non-Muslim subjects as well, and that was his unique quality. He laid a foundation for a multicultural empire during his reign. Right. Well, I'm going to tell you a very interesting part of his reign, which I have admired a lot, and that was introduction of Deen-e-Ilahi. Yes, to merge all the religious differences, introduce that all-inclusive religion of Deen-e-Ilahi, which also means religion of God. And it was formulated for the people to practice their religion in combination with other religions, right? And this will bring a greater sense of unity and belongingness to a separate identity. So he never compelled anyone to follow religion he created, but he had a great desire for the religion to be opted among his fellow men. And you know one thing, that he himself worshipped sun god. He used to offer water to sun god just to accept the other religion and their beliefs. And in this way, he earned the respect from all non-Muslim subjects of his empire. So that was his greatness. He constructed a temple and a separate kitchen for Jodhabai. Yes, Jodhabai was a Rajput princess who became Mughal emperor Akbar's third consort on January 20, 1562. She was a strict vegetarian and could not share her meals from a kitchen that cooked non-vegetarian food. As a result, Akbar had constructed a separate area and instructed a separate vast kitchen for her where only vegetarian meals were prepared. Right, he even took vegetarian food 3 days a week after his marriage to the Rajput princess. Not only this, he constructed a separate place of worship for Jodhabai. You must have seen in the movie Jodha Akbar, isn't it? Well, Akbar removed jizya tax on non-Muslims, and we all know about this. Now, I was talking about Behram Khan, who was the guardian and the regent of Akbar, later turned rebellious against the emperor, and he was provoked by the conspirators who provided false information just to see him ruined. So he rebelled twice against Akbar. Right, so what emperor did, emperor forgave him, but he robbed him of all the privileges he enjoyed. He gave three options before Behram Khan, which were: first, he could have handsome Jagir in the Sarkar of Chanderi and Kalpi; second, Behram Khan could become Akbar's confidential advisor; third, he could go out on a journey to Makkah. So Behram Khan decided with the third option, and he visited Mecca. So such was the nature of this great emperor. Forgiveness was there in his behavior. He was so kind. And do you know he had 5,000 women in his palace? Right. Okay. And he had total of 5,000 women in his palace as per the reports. Okay. 300 of them were said to be his wives or concubines that resided in his harem. And the rest of women were female servants and other close relatives. Last but not the least, his death resulted from dysentery or the acute diarrhea. He fell ill in the year 1605, but he was not treated by the chief physician Hakim Ali. It was thought that the emperor's vigor of constitution would have revived him, but his situation started becoming worse. He had developed an acute case of diarrhea or dysentery, and on the 9th day the physician started providing him with remedies to cure his illness. It is stated that the conflict between his son Salim and his grandson Khusrau aggravated Akbar's health condition and took him to no recovery state. Well, I will not go into details of all these things, but here I would love to quote that the greatness lies not in ruling a people, it lies in being cause of happiness in their lives. A true leader is the one who lives or leaves a memorable footprints of nobility. And yes, this is a lesson we must learn from this great leader, and I hope you will follow his footsteps. Stay connected with me to learn more. Until then, take a very good care of yourself and bye bye.